better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You want to get on the conversation? Call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. In fact, Richard comes in early here from the 479 saying, what do you think? So I love because I know exactly what the rest of this is going to say. What do you think about this coach? What do you think about Leach as head coach and Charlie Strong as defensive coordinator? Please talk about Leach and how he turns programs around and how he does it so fast everywhere he's been. Thanks, guys. You know, and this is not anything against you, Richard, because I think Mike Leach, of course, is still a candidate and still somebody that the Razorbacks are going to look at. But this idea that, like, you try to put in together this super, like, all-star coaching staff together, I don't think ever works. Let's be honest. I mean, I don't think you can ever say, oh, we'll just get this big-time head coach, this big-time coordinator, and that work out, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those are some names, though, that would that excite? I mean, I'm just not sure how far that goes with the fan base.
No, I don't think so either. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. General Ben's on the line. What's going on, General Ben?
Well, here's what's going on. I told people for a long time, honestly, that I had a whole lot of questions and no answers. But I did have kind of a theory, maybe a question as to how the only way the best way, the most secure way of us getting back to where we want to be, where we win at least 8 games every year, 7 sometimes, every now and then 9 or 10 or 11 or whatever, and that is this, and these are not pretty things, okay, but here it is. I believe there's at least 3 things or 4 that we have to do, and most all of them concern money. I think all 4 of them do. We have to be willing to pay, number one, we have to be willing to pay the head coach, whoever it is, in order to get the best head coach that we can get from whatever team, from whoever, and from a Power 5 and all like that, with experience at winning and maybe hopefully some SEC experience, either at least as an assistant coach or head coach. But anyway, we have to be willing to pay them the amount of money that we offer Gus Malzahn that Auburn is paying them now, because we offered him first $7 million a year for 7 years, and I'm not sure we offer that high buyout, you know, whatever, but he decided to stay there. So we have to be willing to pay a coach if in order to get that best coach, if it takes it $7 million a year or more for a long contract like that, and that's bukus of money, but we were willing to pay it. You know, some of the rich folks decided they wanted to spend their fund money together and pool it together and pay that much. But we also got to pay the assistants, and we need to be top 4 in the nation as to, you know, what we're willing to pay our assistants so that great coach can go out and get great assistants, so that them players that want to think about coming here and say, hey, you know, these coaches can maybe put me in the NFL so I make that big money on Sunday. And then number 3, I don't believe things are done Christian, ethically, moral, all that when it comes to recruiting. And the universities don't pay money, but fans, like if I was a rich fan and I wasn't a Christian, I was dirty, filthy, nasty rich, and I wasn't a Christian, I would be paying money under the table along with the other fans that pay that under the table money. And I believe the best players go to the highest bidder unless they want to be a hog or whatever, you know, all their life. And I just believe that's the way it is. We're going to have to start paying more money for the players that we recruit and to get them here and keep them here. And then the last thing, money-wise, we have to at least keep our facilities up there to where it's compatible with the other big shots that are doing it. So anyway, as always, let me stay on the phone if you don't mind while y'all comment, or if you don't have any comments on what I say. I understand, but that's just the way I feel with all my heart there.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, General Ben. As far as going to your first point when it comes to money and paying coaches, you don't have to pay a ton of money to get a quality coach or to get the right coach. You don't have to be able to back up the money. Now, it'd be nice, but you don't have to pay $7.5 million and overpay for a coach to be successful.
You may if they win. You may to keep them.
To keep them,
but to get them hired, I agree with you.
Yeah, because listen, I mean, look at someone like Jimbo Fisher. I know it's only in his second year, but he's getting $7.5 million. Is it equated to national championship? Or Jim Harbaugh, another great example.
I would say the majority, here's the thing. The majority of the coaches making north of $6 million a year, $7 million a year, are underwhelming and disappointing their fan bases.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Harbaugh and Jimbo right there, just as a couple of coaches that are making that kind of money. You think they're satisfied with what they're paying? Where much is given, much is expected. There's a lot more satisfied fan bases with these coaches making $4 million a year. Arkansas is not going to break the bank, I don't believe.
Or should they?
My opinion, and pay someone $7 million a year. I know he lost this weekend, but what does Matt Rhule make at Baylor? You know, they got to get some defense there, obviously, but... you know, I don't imagine it's anywhere near $7 million.
4.1.
Yeah, I was going to guess somewhere in the $4 million range. It'd been a pure guess, and I've been right.
Mm-hmm. You know how much Ryan Day makes at Ohio State?
Not as much as Urban Meyer was making.
Nope, I can tell you that right now. $4.5 million. Dollars. So, yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like you don't have to pay just complete and total ridiculous amount of money. Mike Leach is making 3.7 up at Washington State, and he's a candidate that a lot of people want.
So, okay. Candidate everybody wants. You're right about that. 3.7 at Washington State. What would Arkansas have to pay? And what would you be comfortable as a fan with your athletic department granting him on a contract to get Mike Leach here?
4.5?
I'll say it'd have to be in the mid-fours, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's about a $750,000 bump. Yeah. I don't know. As far
he's
as
not
the
leaving
years
for the same
all.
Money.
No.
You know?
No. Or should he? And if he is, he's an idiot.
He should never. Not.
No, and he's not. And neither is his agent, I'm sure. But, yeah, because I'm looking at all these coaches, like Tom Herman. He's making $6.7 million.
Yep. You think, now they had they got beat this weekend.
They did.
You think they're satisfied with him?
No.
They've had a couple big wins along the way, but they're not satisfied. I'm just saying, when you pay a coach $6 or $7 million, it's because you're expecting to win 10 or more ball games every year. And when you don't, Arkansas is not going to be a program that you can win 9+ 4 years in a row, 3 years in a row. Not as it's constructed now, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you can't win 9 or 10 ball games at Arkansas. I'm just saying, what would it take to, you know, and obviously it starts with coach, but it's going to take a whole lot of other things beyond just hiring the right coach to get to a point where you could win 9+ ball games a year. 4 years in a row. Because you're not paying someone $6 or $7 million to win 9 or 10 every fourth year.
No.
You're paying someone $7 million a year to win 9+ every year. And maybe that fifth year you could have an 8-win, and I'm talking regular season, it's not bowl wins. Yeah, you know, that's what you're paying. That's what you expect. If our coach at Arkansas was making $7 million, I'm not expecting to ever have to worry about bowl eligibility again.
No.
And I just don't know that the correlation is there. Okay, you pay a coach a bunch of money, you get great results. The evidence shows that you probably get mediocre results because your expectations are going to be off the charts, and they should be.
Yeah. Well, and just here's an idea, because I know that you can't just take one season into consideration when it comes to some of these coaches, but – as far as just, because I've pulled up the USA Today, and this is the 2019 salaries that these coaches will be making, or I guess the 2018 salaries of what they made. Listen to some of these coaches and where they rank in college football. You mentioned Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, third highest paid coach. Probably not happy with the results. Auburn, are they happy with the results? Nope. They got Gus Malzahn at 6.8.
No, I was already seeing, like, Barrett Salee had a tweet out about this isn't working at Auburn, and the offensive gurus lost his touch.
Mm-hmm. All
things
of that.
Along that nature. You know, exactly.
Purdue and Jeff Brohm. He's the eighth highest paid coach in the college football. You think they're happy with their results right now? Mm-hmm. Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald, they've won two games this year.
Mm-hmm.
He is the 12th highest paid coach in college football. I mean, you got South Florida and Charlie Strong. You got Willie Taggart, who's no longer at Florida State. He was getting five. So this whole idea that you have to break the bank and just start writing these ridiculous amount of checks is just it's a myth. You don't have to do that to be competitive.
So Brad in Mountain Home asked a wonderful, it's a good, really good question.
Yeah.
So would you say, Brad asked, would you say that LSU is getting the most bang for their buck?
100%.
Absolutely, because what's he making, 3.5, Eddie O?
Let's see. I'm looking. I got it. I got the whole deal here.
Yeah. Of course. It's going to change after this year.
He is making, he's ranked 30th, making $4 million.
Okay, $4 million a year, 30th high, yes. Yes, they're number one in the country, 30th highest paid coach, yes. Brad, yes to your question. Good question. Mm-hmm. LSU's getting the most bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Now, they've got to finish this season. They've got to avoid the landmine of playing Arkansas this week. But if they can, and they can go on and win the SEC title, then and only then will you say they're getting the most bang for your buck.
Now, if he wins the national championship this year, which looks like it's a very, very good chance of that happening, he will probably get Nick Saban money, or at least close to, or at least he should, from LSU.
I'd say they would give him a 50% bump down there, meaning he'll go from 4 to 6.
Really? So you don't even think they'd give him?
They've done this before. They know they've went down this road with Les Miles. Now the scale was different then because like 4 or 5 was the top end. But they did this once before and made him. Didn't they put it in his contract? He would make a dollar. Wasn't that the deal with Les Miles? He'd make a dollar more than the highest paid coach.
I know it was Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. It may have been the same for Les Miles. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Or maybe Les Miles was the coach that got a raise and got some. Something I remember like he was involved in something because they got him to like $5 million or something. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll get him up there to where he is top 2 or 3 in this conference. It's just hard to get to the top because you got ridiculous money at Bama, which is earned.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're probably not even going to make the college football playoff this year. And then you got this stupid contract that they got over at A&M, which is just, you know.
It's a stupid contract.
Well, you can't negotiate against something that's that far off center.
Mm-hmm.
If you're LSU or any other program. But, yeah, I'd say he's going to make 6+. And you know what? LSU's athletic department and their boosters may say, no, we want the – take pride in the fact that if they win the national title, our coach is paid the most. And guess what? Then everybody else gets a raise.
That's right. It's amazing how the market works in these coaching salaries.
And when that happens, it gets more expensive for Arkansas to hire a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a rising tide that will lift all boats.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing across college football. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
It's your home in Arkansas, at least 10 years old and served by OG&E. OG&E is offering Arkansas customers a free weatherization program to increase your comfort and lower your bills. They have trained crews that will come to your home and do an energy audit at zero cost to you. And if your home qualifies, their crews will come back and install measures that include attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more, and this won't cost you a thing. It's absolutely free. Call 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization improvement program.
And, you know, something else that gentleman brought up is when it came to money. I think he brought up coaches, he brought up paying players, and he also brought up the facilities. Listen, gentlemen, there's no doubt that there's some shadiness going on in college sports recruiting. I know this just in, stop traffic, but there is a lot of that going on across in all college sports, at least the major ones of football and basketball especially. But again, I don't think it's so prevalent or going on so much that in order for you to be a national championship caliber team, you have to dive into that route. I don't think that that's the case. But so that, you know, we can move on from that. But also the facilities. I'm not saying that facilities are overrated, because I think that if you don't have the same caliber of facilities that the rest of the teams you're going up against, it definitely stands out. But I don't think any player is going to really want to come to Arkansas, really want to play for the Razorbacks, want to play for the coaches, whatever. And then when they arrive on campus, they're going to see these facilities. Be like, well, Alabama's got a waterfall in their facility, so I'm going to go there instead. Like, facilities are important. But I think we make them into a bigger deal than what they are just because everybody's got nice facilities in the SEC now. Like, not saying you have to keep up with the Jones, but
I don't think Arkansas's football facilities are backseat to really anyone, including Bama. We may not have a waterfall in the football operations center, but Arkansas's got academic and nutrition centers that I think are second to none. Because you don't know what – you got to have everything because, John, you don't know what's going to be important to one individual athlete.
That's right. That's right.
I forget the coach that was telling the story one time, but he lost a recruit over an ice cream machine because a kid chose, this was 30 years ago, but he chose one school and over another because they had a soft serve ice cream machine in the athletic cafeteria. So, I mean, that'd be nice. Guess what that coach got the next week?
A raise?
You know, ice cream in the cafeteria.
Ice cream machine, yeah.
You know, so you never know what a player's looking for. But, you know, that's why you got to have a little bit of everything, whether it's a great weight room, great film facilities, you know, great nutrition, academics, all of it. It's expensive, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it may not make sense to you or to me.
Yeah, it makes no sense to us, but it does to...
Yeah. Like, why does like Alabama has one. Why does their practice facility need a waterfall? Is it like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory when you walk in there?
It's really like a water fountain, but we call it a waterfall because it's more dramatic.
Correct, but same. But like, what does that do to help you in football? How is that going to make you a better football player?
No, it doesn't.
It's for when you walk
it's
in.
It's for show. It's for razzle dazzle.
That's right. Pomp and circumstance. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. And
you know
I
why they got one?
Why?
Because they can.
Yes. Because, hey, why not? Because we're talking about it. Would we have talked about Alabama's facilities if it didn't have a waterfall in it?
Why does Clemson have a slide to go from the second floor down to the first?
Because they can.
Because they can.
Mm-hmm. Does Arkansas have something like that where they... I'm trying to think.
They got a nice players lounge.
I mean, they got everything's nice, yeah.
I have not been in, maybe you've been in, this nutrition center or whatever. Mm-hmm. They can go by and get something to eat anytime, 24-7, more or less.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite 24-7, but it might as well be.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty nice.
And I've seen other places that have went to this where you can order your personalized smoothie on an app and this and that. You know, Arkansas kind of started some of that. Set the standard in that area.
Pay the players.
Yeah. Well, they're mistreated. I mean, it's just.
Oh, man. No, but that's what you got to do. If you want to compete in college football and big boy football, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Hey, this time of year is hectic and a lot of places to go, a lot of things to do, and Southern Tire Mart gets it. They understand it, and they want to save you some money on America's most trusted tire brands like Michelin and B.F. Goodrich. Take advantage of Southern Tire Mart's $29.95 oil change, which includes a thorough 27-point vehicle inspection to make sure everything is running right on your vehicle. See Southern Tire Mart, I-540 at exit 14 in the River Valley for quality Michelin and B.F. Goodrich tires and the best in-class service. It's all at Southern Tire Mart.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me, gentlemen?
We got you.
Loud and clear.
Well, let me start off saying good morning to this fan base, but I'd like to ask a question this morning. Is there a better time of the year then the month of November and college and high school football playoffs? And I'd like to start off this morning to give a little school outside the outskirts of Clarksville, the Lamar Warriors, and their big win they had Friday night. And by the way, the Tribe is headed down the road this Friday night to take on the Rising Wildcats. And I think sometimes in a hustle and bustle of life, we need to go out and support our high school kids. I know a lot of the kids on the Lamar Warriors team. I know Coach Jones. And let me tell you what a tremendous job he does year in and year out. 8 to 10 wins a year. And I hope they go down there. And by the way, Rising has a pretty good program. They turn out good athletes down there. So let's go Tribe. And I know the principal there, Lamar Pursley, Mitch Harris. Let me say that what a tremendous job he does as a principal at Lamar High School, and what a student body they have. You know, they don't have the facilities a lot of high school teams have, but they go out and they compete year in and year out on the playing field. And that's hats off to Coach Jones, hats off to the whole high school team. And I want to just place while we're on the high school, my hometown, Bryant, Arkansas. Go Hornets. Because what a tremendous football program. Not just football program Bryant has. Bryant has a baseball and a basketball program. And they compete year in and year out on a high level. And so go out and support our kids. Because, you know, like I said again, somebody once said in a movie, Ed Harris, said, I love Friday night. When I'm looking for a win, and Saturday when I found one. And so these kids, you know, this is their Super Bowl. This is their playoff. So let's go out and support our kids. I love this time of year. It is the parts of the kid at heart. Let me say this, another thing. Stay aboard the Hub train. I have tremendous faith in Hunter Yearcheck that he's going to go out and get us a leader and get our program headed back in the right direction. And so let's look at, and I want to give thanks to Coach Musselman. Three games into the year, we're holding we're playing defense. And look at what we're doing at the free throw line. I mean, we're knocking them down. Hey, when was the last time we done that? So he's doing a tremendous job, and brings me to two kids. Signing dates coming up, and I want to make a plea for a kid in black, K.K. Robinson. Hey, you can go anywhere in the country, son. You can go to Kansas. But why not come to your home state? Let's get to Mr. Kelly Williams. Come to your home state. It means so much more to this fan base. You'll get to play at home because of the Hope Train. Hey, Richie Tradition, look at the banners that hang from the rafters. And we're fixing to shake the cobwebs off and get the Hope Train rolling again under Coach Musselman. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. My goodness.
We got some tremendous texts during Eddie's call.
Man. I mean, that was
I think good. We got to read them right now.
We have to. Yeah. Let's see. We had
anyone that was watching the video stream wondering why we were laughing. It was with the comments that you, the people, were sending us during that call.
This comes from Heath in Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Heath, for listening all the way up
in the upper Midwest.
Yeah. It's a sad day to be a Hog when Eddie starts breaking down Lamar High School. Ain't that the truth?
When Eddie's dropped a complete classification from breaking down, he bypassed 1AA and the FCS and all of it.
To Lamar High School.
Went straight, yeah.
That's where his passion went to this morning.
Right.
Andy in Mountain Home says, Gentle Ben followed by Eddie in Clarksville, I might drive my car into a tree. Oh, come on. Don't be like that. Hacker in Harrison says, I thought Eddie was going to go through every high school in the state. Probably should have.
Could have, probably.
Yeah, should have gone through it. Give us a breakdown of all that. Well, that was not expected, but that works. Thank you, Eddie, for that.
Go Warriors, I guess.
Go Warriors. I guess. And Bryant, go Hornets.
Yeah.
Go Hornets
He covered them all.
Yeah, all the big ones at least.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
By the way, we got Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated, the publisher, here with us on the Morning Rush. And Clay, what do you make of Arkansas being a 46-point dog to the LSU Tigers this weekend?
Well, you could probably put any number you wanted there. It would... You know, it's you got one team flying at the highest of highs, and you got one team at the lowest and lows. Their program's history, probably. I mean, I don't remember when LSU's been flying this high, where they are the number one coming off Alabama victory. That's rare air for them, and they've got an offense that is it looks like kryptonite. For Arkansas's defense, those wide receivers against those corners and nickels, boy, I would say they can name their score. So I'd be scared to bet that, but I'll also understand why it might be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that most people understand why it's there, and I don't think anyone's going to have Arkansas winning this game or for any reason, but I think it's just the perfect storm of all the factors that you set into it. But think about LSU. I'm not saying this is the way it's going to happen with Arkansas. LSU beat Ole Miss 58-37 over the weekend, but they gave up 400 yards rushing to Ole Miss.
Well, they were looking past Ole Miss to get ready for.
Well, they had a lot of injuries. Their defense was in a shambles as far as injuries. They played a lot of twos and threes in that game, And some of those guys are going to be back. That's the story. We'll find out about midweek how some of those guys are. You know, they've got some great players that are beat up. And that's the good part about playing them after Alabama is that is going to be the case in many years, both mentally and physically, that you're wounded. You know, it's you put a lot into it, but it that game takes its toll.
And obviously for LSU, this may be a week that particularly players that are marginal on their return health-wise may sit another week against Arkansas, knowing they got A&M to close the season. They may not play those ones even against Arkansas, which if you're looking at that and that's the way it goes and you see that 46, that might be a clue of what you should do. But either way, whether they play their twos or threes or ones, it's going to be very difficult for Arkansas to go on the road and do this. And, I think a lot of people in the conversation I had with folks over the weekend is, Clay, they're very interested in which way's Barry Lunny going with the quarterback? And, that kind of seems to still be the big mystery right now that I think a lot of people are excited to maybe learn throughout this week, and I don't think you'll learn till Saturday.
Yeah, and I think he's going to play both, and I think that both have deserved to play. And, you know, for all the excitement of KJ, John Stephen has done well when he's been given the chance. It hadn't been very often, but that's the way I think it'll be. Which one starts, I'm not sure. I think part of it might be that you go off of what the practices have been like and what's been able to, has one of them made a little bit of a jump. Back to LSU, and you can talk about their injuries. The key for that point spread will lay in the hands of Ed Orgeron in the wake of Tua's injury, where he's gone for the season, and you just wonder how much he'll risk Joe Burrow. How mm-hmm. much does he have to play him?
Yep.
And you get him off the field when you can.
Because there's a lot of criticism right now with Nick Saban and whether Tua should even been out there because, what was it, 28-7, I believe,
yeah,
at the time.
He said he was
the
practicing the two-minute offense, which, right. That guy can run the two-minute offense. Right. That's what he does every day. I didn't buy that as the reason.
Was it 3 minutes before halftime, 2 minutes before, yeah. Whatever it was, right there before halftime. You know, I understand, maybe, hey, let's get to the half. We'll put Jones in for the second half of the ball game. But, just that's football. That's you gambled and you went a hand too many into the poker game here. And you put too many chips in the middle of the table with Tua. And now as far as what Alabama expects out of a football season, which is being in the college football playoff, those hopes are dashed. And you probably are right that Ed Orgeron is watching that. Other coaches around the country are watching that thinking, do I really want to risk the best player on my offense this week against a team we can beat without them?
Yep, you think about Clemson, how much they'll play their quarterback, and definitely Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow is the best. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy, and he doesn't need, 500 yards passing in this game to win the Heisman. He just needs, a quarter and a half of what he's been doing, and some of those wide receivers, they may not get to play as much. And LSU's got other good players, and I think I'd want to see that backup quarterback in case something happens to him. And this is the perfect game to do that. He'll probably look good.
did Tua's injury seal that? I mean, is Jalen Hurts too far back? Because I can't see Tua really getting a lot of votes injured the way he's been in the season ender that's going to take him off the field. So he's out of the equation, right? So I guess it's Hurts who else is in there?
You've got the championship game to decide. And more and more people are holding that vote until after the championship game. So it's not decided, but if you had it right now, you would not put Hurt ahead of Joe Burrow he's played.
Yeah, he didn't play very well against Baylor when you look at the numbers and the turnovers, fumbles.
He was awful in the first quarter, just awful.
Just not very good in the first half at all, and obviously had an epic comeback, biggest in Oklahoma history. But it seems to me with Tua's injury, the Heisman race is over, to me, from the outside looking in.
Yeah. And Mike, just to give everybody some context here on Joe Burrow, since that's who we're talking about, and his stats this year, he's still got two games left to play against Arkansas and Texas A&M. He He's got 3,687 yards, 38 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. I mean, that's Heisman Trophy type numbers mm-hmm. there. And it's amazing, too, and you have to give really a lot of credit to, of course, Eddie O and the offensive changes that he made, because would any of us ever have guessed in a million years that LSU would have a Heisman Trophy winner at the quarterback position for as long as they went without having great quarterback play?
Or well, John, to piggyback on that, and to be playing the way they're playing,
yeah,
which is a wide open spread, and they've also played a great schedule. I mean, they've played the toughest teams in the SEC. I mean, they have, you know, they've still got Texas A&M to go, but they also, you know, won at Texas. You know, they've done the kind of things to make him the Heisman front runner. It's not just the way he plays, and you know, their defense has been okay. The defense has given up some stuff. You know, they gave up a lot of points to Texas, a lot of points to Ole Miss and to Alabama. But it's you know, part of it is that offense scores so quickly that the defense has a lot more possessions in a game than what they're used to having at LSU.
Yeah, that's why now it all just came into focus. Joe Burrow's had your vote since he beat Texas.
Now, absolutely.
Now it's all coming into focus. All he had to do was beat Texas.
He could have still lost it, but he did have my vote after Texas.
That's always a plus you can have when it comes to your Heisman Trophy winner. But, you know, yeah, their schedule, like you said, they play Texas and beat them on the road in that fashion. Of course, playing Florida, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, I just can't imagine anybody making an argument that LSU is not the best team in the country right now.
No one is.
And especially for when you hit down to the last two games. I mean, this is their national championship year. This is their opportunity to do it. And it's just unfortunate because, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, you feel like it's all your dreams have been dashed. And who knows, maybe this will be the start of another SEC team not named Alabama to be able to start something and to build into something if you're LSU.
Once Burrow's gone, can they transition from Joe Burrow into the next great quarterback?
Yeah, and you're hoping if you're an LSU fan that it's going to be based on, hey, you saw what they did with Joe Burrow. If I'm a big-time, highly recruited, high-caliber quarterback coming out of high school, I mean, that's something you look at. Like, hey, if they do that with Joe Burrow, that's the place I want to be.
You know, you talk about high school recruits, but, guys, I don't even know that it's about that anymore. This transfer portal has changed the way college football and college athletics are being played.
Especially quarterbacks.
It's not just finding the great four-star or five-star out of high school. It's who's not satisfied with where they're at because they're the backup to another great quarterback, and we can bring them in here. It's a good fit. And they could take this program to another level. Because that's what we're really seeing is transfer quarterbacks winning Heismans and taking their teams to the college football playoff the last few years.
Absolutely right. You know, the matchup that I see down the road is, to me, I mean, Clemson defensively is still really good, but they're not as good. I mean, Isaiah Simmons, by the way, when you see All-American teams start to come out, Isaiah Simmons, who's the Clemson linebacker, do you know where he wanted to go to school? Arkansas. He grew up in Kansas, dreaming of being a Razorback. They sent his tape. Brett Bielema did not respond. I know you won't want to hear that, but just remember that as he's touted for all these All-American teams, and it's you know, there's a great story out there written by somebody, I think, in USA Today, where both he and his dad talk about, you know, taking him to Arkansas, and there was no interest. He was an undersized defensive player, but he's the best linebacker in the country today. He's going to be a first-team All-America and a finalist for the Bronco Nagurski Award. Mm. And that is a sad commentary on where we're at right now, guys.
And you're still going to end up paying this guy a buyout, you know, some sort at some point.
Arkansas didn't need him.
God. Arkansas didn't want him, you know.
Yep.
Misevaluation. That's where evaluations are so important in recruiting. You know,
there were a lot of others that didn't want him, so you have to give Clemson credit for and Brent Venables, and he had contacts in Kansas to make that happen.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Hey, Crabtree RV in Alma wants to say thank you for the fourth consecutive year. You have voted Crabtree RV and Outlet the best place to buy an RV, and they want to show their appreciation to all the customers out there by beginning their Christmas Cash Day sale early. It's now through New Year's Eve. You can take sales tax paid or $1,000 in Christmas cash on the purchase of any RV from Crabtree, and they'll still give you the most for your trade. The best deals of the year are happening right now at Crabtree RV and Alma, where your family's dreams come true.
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. You know, this matchup also with Arkansas and LSU, since we've been talking about LSU and what they've been able to do, and it's amazing to me that when we were talking about Clay, I don't know if you were able to listen to it, but we were talking about coaching salaries and how there's this almost like this misnomer that if you want Arkansas and their new head coach to be successful, you're going to have to back up the money truck and just throw money at a coach that you want. And I feel like in a lot of cases, that's almost just, it's you don't have to do that. You don't have to go out and pay a coach $6+ million a year in order to be successful. Now, maybe you spend less on the head coach and more on assistant coaches. You know, maybe that's a route you go, which I can understand.
There you go. You've got a winner right there.
Yeah, because to me, I'd rather have a guy that comes in and says, okay, $3.5-4 million a year, which is still a good amount, and it's about the going rate in the SEC, but then spend the rest of that money on going out and getting guys that can recruit, that can develop, because assistant coaches, as we know and have seen, those can be the difference makers between being just an ordinary program and an extraordinary program.
Yeah, I think that probably people get tired of me going back to the 60s and 70s and point to Frank Broyles and what he was able to do. But he had the best staff in the country. And you go through there and you look at, and there's a page in the SEC media guide that's got about 80 names of assistant coaches that he had hired that later became head coaches. And, you know, the tree is just incredible, you know, with guys like Pete Carroll and Joe Gibbs, even, you know, Pete Carroll, I guess, was Holtz, but it, you know, Frank was the one that called and got him. And, you know, Joe Gibbs was his offensive line coach. You know, it's Hayden Fry, you know, was on his staff, and it's an incredible list. Doug Dickey, Johnny Majors, and, you know, I could go on and on. Barry Switzer. Yeah. And I can remember interviewing Hayden Fry when Brett Bielema was hired. Actually, the day that he was hired, I called him, and we reminisced about his Arkansas time, and he said, you know, he was hired to be SMU's head coach. And he said, just assume, you know, he didn't talk contracts or anything, just assume he'd be paid more if he's a head coach. And he looked at his first pay stub, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He said, I'm not making as much as I did as an assistant at Arkansas. It dawned on him how well paid they were at Arkansas compared to the other staffs around the country. And that's why, you know, people wanted to come for two reasons. One, he paid them more. Two, they thought that they would go on to be head coaches, that it would be perfect training. And they were right on both.
Yeah, and you look at where Arkansas is at with their staff right now and the money they're paying. They're paying John Chavis, what, $1.2 million, and people are not satisfied with the results there. But if Arkansas is going to get coordinators and top assistants, they're going to have to pay market or above market to do that. And in fact, I was talking with someone yesterday that kind of quipped and frustrated with just the whole situation right now. He goes, just doesn't seem right that John Chavis is making the same as Dave Van Horn. And, you know, and I've never thought about it in that context, but, you know, they're right. And but that's where you're at now in today's market. And people say, why are you paying these guys this much? Because, Clay, that's what the market says you have to do if you want to be competitive.
Well, I don't object to paying a defensive coordinator that much money. I object to getting the results that they got from that. I was pleased to see them step up and pay top dollar for defensive coaches, and just didn't work, whether it's the players or his methods or his scheme or whatever. And it's probably a combination of both, probably playing too many young players. And we've had that discussion on this show, but that part of it, paying assistant coaches a lot of money is not the problem. It's getting the right coaches. That's the problem.
Well, and I think also a key in this whole thing too is, and maybe I'm looking too much into it, but if you're a school that can at least show that you're willing to pay that much for assistant coaches, it may be a little more, attractive to big head coaching jobs. Because, you know, I don't know what all the truth was to it, but at least it's what we were told about Brett Bielema in Wisconsin. Didn't have the funding or didn't have the support financially to be able to keep assistant coaches. And there are some other schools, I would guarantee you, around the country that may turn some coaches off or whatnot because they're willing to pay for head coach, but hey, there's only a certain amount you'll pay for assistant coaches. But if you're a coach that or a school that's willing to show that you can pay big money for quality, then I think more people would be apt to look at
you. But schools are always willing to give, for a coach they really want, they're always willing at first to give that head coach that they really want whatever he needs to hire a staff. And that's where they can start ratcheting down on him if they're not getting the results they want. Well, we got less money for assistants. We got less money over here for this program or this facility or this. You know, that's how they put pressure on coaches. Because once these contracts are locked in, well, they're locked in. But these assistant coaches' contracts are not nearly as long in length or are nearly as difficult to get out of. And, Clay, that's where we see pressure put on head coaches is when they start giving them less money for their staff 2, 3, 4 years into a stint at a school. That's when you know, hey, administration's not really happy with me.
You're right. And, you know, I can remember after the Texas victory with Bielema, one of the things that he lobbied for were 2-year contracts for assistant coaches. And that's very rare. And I would say that, the only one that had a 2-year contract at Arkansas and this bunch was John Chavis. So at least that's not a huge deal. Now the Chavis contract, he's still got another year. So they've got to, the next coach has got to decide, does he keep him or not? And, that's going to be an interesting development because that might cost you another chunk if the next coach in, you know, I guess ideally you could have a situation where John decides he doesn't want to work for that next coach and has got another job, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, I want to invite you out to Joe's Grill and Cantina all basketball season long. You're going to see all the games right there at Joe's. And every time the games are on, half-price apps and taps during each and every hall game. TVs all around the restaurant, half-price appetizers like brisket nachos, Mexican pizza. They're big sampler platters, so you can get whatever you want for you and your group. And go out this Saturday night. Going to be a big-time Saturday night as Arkansas takes on LSU, and you can watch the game at Joe's. 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps in Fort Smith. Half-price apps and taps this Saturday night for Arkansas LSU at Joe's Grill and Cantina.
You know, that also makes the question become when it comes to Arkansas Razorbacks head coaching search right now is, you know, Hunter Yurcheck said in his press conference that talked to his CFO, talked to the people who are advising him and being able to tell him about the money situation. And they told him that, you know, as far as the buyout goes, they can still honor it. They're still going to follow through with it. So it really makes you wonder, what is Arkansas's financial situation looking like when it comes to how much they have to pay, of course, for the buyouts, not only for Chad Morris, but for the coaching staff, and how much they are able or willing to pay for a head coach and his new staff? Because everyone just thinks that, you know, hey, money's money, just throw it around. They have somebody's going to write a check. But what really is the situation when it comes to financial hirings of Arkansas and their coaches? Can they afford right now, if they had a coach that was worth $6.5 million or more, just throw a name out there. Say if it was Urban Meyer and he said, you know what, I'm interested in the Arkansas job, but I want $7.5 million. Is Arkansas, Clay, in a position right now financially to be able to go ahead and make that deal happen?
Well, I think that you would have to probably have some funds from somewhere else if you went after a coach of that, like an Urban Meyer that you just laid it out, in, or a Bob Stoops, right? And I don't think that's where they're going, to be honest. And I think that the two names that I hear the most are, you know, that seem to be interested as well, Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach. And you say Mike Norvell, and I think they were interested in him at one point. I'm talking about 2 years ago. And by mutual agreement, it doesn't seem like they're interested in him as much now. And now I think he probably still has some interest, but you're not going to hear that. It's going to be one of those situations. If you want me, you probably can have me, but I'm not going to go through an interview process again. I've done that already. And that's generally the way it works. A guy's not going to interview twice at one school. You know, that's, you know, that's almost embarrassing. So, you know, I think Norvell is probably going to Florida State. That's my feeling. You know, it's, you know, not Arkansas. And if you had to lock me down and say, hey, you've got to tell me today where it's going to end up, I think it'll end up with Lane Kiffin. And that's not to say that it's anywhere close to being done. But I think that Hunter Yurcheck was interested in Lane Kiffin when the Houston job came open. There was a push from some of their big boosters on their board of trustees for Major Applewhite, and I think that's where that search ended up. And I think Lane Kiffin has been interested in Arkansas jobs several times, including that might be the reason why he was fired at Oakland when Al Davis found out that, you know, that he had made some calls about the Arkansas job. You know, we may get to hear that at a press conference someday about how that Oakland job turned out when he was when Al, of course, Al's not with us anymore, but I don't think Al Davis liked that too much.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, a little bit of a shift of gears here in the third hour on the Morning Rush. John's going to step away for the rest of the show today. He is not feeling good. I don't know about where you work, around your house, or Clay, you know, in the circles you're running in there with the newspaper and with the magazine, but I'm telling you, it seems like everybody right now is battling the crud or some kind of illness or stomach flu or what's going on. John just, he was trying to battle through it this morning, but he's going to tap out for the rest of the show and try to go get to feeling better. So
yeah, I blame this all on Bob Holt. He was the one that started this about 10 days ago. Yeah.
Well, we're going to blame it on Ty Richardson around here. Because
he came
into
the press box announcing, I'm sick. Well, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, so poor Bob.
Matt is, Matty T is Lysoling down the studio as we speak.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Clay and Tommy the rest of the way here on the show, and hopefully John will be feeling better and be able to be back with us tomorrow. 877-377-6963. You can join us on the show on the Cherokee Casino Hotline via text or your phone calls this morning. Let's go there for a call right now. Matt, you may have to punch these up for me. I don't have it pulled up here. Brent is in Stuttgart. Brent, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy and Clay. How are you guys?
We are well and upright.
Yeah, the old joke is that, you know, it's addition by subtraction. John left, so we're in better shape. But that's not true in this case.
Mm-hmm. All right, Clay and Tommy, I have got a question, and I want to say first that I'm happy for Barry Lunny that he's, and Clay, you know who this is, that he got the opportunity to be the interim coach, but in my opinion, Barry is fighting a battle with nine hands tied behind his back these last 2 weeks. I mean, these assistant coaches, to put it mildly, are less than stellar. And I think that whomever the new coach is that comes in here, he needs to be able to bring in teachers that can teach techniques and all the things that there's more to coaching than telling them to run a route 15 yards and turn around, and there's more to pass blocking and pass protecting and run blocking than we've been doing this year. And I will take and if you don't mind, I'll listen while you tell me your answers.
All right, thanks for the call, Brent.
Yeah, so it's a very delicate balance between, you know, the head coach holding everybody accountable and also being able to structure a practice and making sure that everything is getting done with physicality, pad level, and that you do things in practice. And I'm talking about enough middle drill and enough scrimmage and enough hitting to develop a defense that will tackle in use all of its physical abilities. In other words, to get the team going on its max it's oftentimes it starts at the head coach to make sure that these assistant coaches are given the time in practice to do technique. And you say, well, they've got the same amount of practice as everybody else. But, you know, you can spend all your time running plays. You can spend all your time trying to put in so much offense that you don't get done the basic things that hold up in four quarters. And that's what I saw with this team. And I think that's the magic of the head coach in football. It is the team concept of football is what makes it such a beautiful game. And it's, you know, you can say, well, soccer's got 11 players. Well, that's all they've got. There's 11 on the field. You have 45 players that get in on a game day, and to be able to develop, you know, a cohesive unit that everything is pulling together in a smooth way, that wasn't happening at Arkansas, and that's what I saw. And so, you know, everybody blames assistant coaches sometimes. Well, it starts with the plan that's given to them by the head coach and the accountability to make sure that all phases are touched upon and done the right way. And so it's not just about hiring a guy that knows technique. It's about making sure that the time in practice is spent in every area to develop that technique.
Yeah, and really this time of the year, how physical can you be in practice? You know, Barry talked about this.
Oh, no, it's over. Yeah.
You take all that off of them. And so for Barry to come in and change the way you're going to practice and to get more fit, those things don't happen in November. So, I mean, this isn't an interim situation like we've compared to before with, say, where Dabo Swinney came in and had six games to go. You can make significant changes. You can show really what you're capable of doing over the course of half a season. You know, to Brent's point, you know, I don't know if his hands are tied behind his back, but I just don't know that this is
they are. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I just don't know it's the, you know, for Barry to be able to really display what he could do, to maybe even get elevated to a coordinator position, that he's really going to get a fair shot to be able to show it. Because, yeah, his hands are tied behind his back because of the time of the year you're at, the lack of depth you got, and certainly the uncertainty that you've had at quarterback.
Yeah, the one area that he gets to pick is who's going to play quarterback and when you make the changes there. You know, the other things that he gets to do, he gets to decide, you know, to go for it on fourth down. He gets to decide if he wants to run a trick play or, you know, here or there. I don't think there are any tricks that are going to magically help this Arkansas team. The other thing that he can impact is making sure that they're mentally ready on game day, that they have a sharpness and an intensity and an enthusiasm that, frankly, I didn't see after the Kentucky game, Tommy.
Yeah, and we've heard Hunter Yurecek talk about that's where he really started to see, you know, the change in this program and the downward trend or the downward spiral. I mean, you talked about this before Hunter Yurecek met with the media. Is that was really the Waterloo, if you will, or the moment where everything changed for this football team and this coaching staff and for these players, because they quit believing at that point.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it's sad in a way that, you know, that's what happened, and that, you know, that he lost the team. But it was clear that he did. And, you know, I told you before the season started, that's what I would watch more than anything else. Could, you know, there's just so many times that you reach the magic level, but you don't want to have lows, depths.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw, the lows of the lows. And I think I wrote it that they'd fallen into the abyss, and it was a free fall. There was no end in sight.
Yeah. I think one of the hard things when you're making the transition like this coaching staff has been trying to make, and obviously Chad Morris did not succeed doing it, is balancing the playing time and winning over the players that were in the program when you arrived, and then balancing playing time and everything you hope to build and develop out of the players you've brought in that are quote-unquote your guys. How do you make all of them, the ones that were here, the ones you brought in, your guys? Because that, to me, is the key to a good transition, is winning over the 40 or 50 players or whatever the number ends up being after you flush a bunch of them out. How do you make them your guys, and how do you get them to buy in, particularly the ones that you're inheriting as sophomores and juniors? Because that's who you're going to win with, Clay. You're not going to win in this league with two freshmen. And I think that's where this coaching staff and this head coach really came up short, is they didn't win over enough of the players that stuck around. And enough of the guys that were sophomores and juniors and the handful of seniors, they didn't win them over. They didn't become their guys and didn't play for them.
Yeah, I think for fans, the one position that stands out that was floundering was quarterback play. And, you know, we've documented how many guys in just 2 years they've played at quarterback. And none of them have consistently played their best. And they would show flashes, and then they would fall back. Well, guess where that impacts the most? That's the rest of the team. That's the defense. And you go out there, start a game, and it's three and out. And it's punt, and you're out there in a hurry on defense, and you don't see any end in that. It's how are we going to score points? And you know that was the magic and the excitement of the Colorado State game with McTelvin and Agim. We think we're going to score points. Yeah. That's how we've been losing leads. We can't score. Well, that was a one game blip. They didn't have any more of that magic. There was no offensive firepower to match what they, you know, were giving up on defense. And when you, once you realize that's where you're at, your tank is empty. Yeah. And there was nothing these coaches could do to change that other than get the quarterback play right, and they couldn't do it.
Brought to you by Williams Tractor, where the True Blue Savings event is going on right now. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue Savings right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. So Clay, how does the next coach come in and avoid these same pitfalls? Because you're not inheriting a roster that's chock full of 3 and 4 star players that are playing at that level. I mean, forget 5 stars. You're just trying to get them to play at the 3 and 4 star level.
Yeah, there's some young players that have talent. In that last class, and you saw them on the field and you'd see flashes, they're going to have some good players. And I think that they're coming in the offensive line. And I saw Bo Limmer come in and Brady Latham. Those guys are going to be good players. They need some beef. They need to add some pounds. For whatever reason, I think that, you know, the philosophy for this staff was to have them lean in the offensive line to be able to run. Well, that's a misunderstanding of what the SEC is. And you go week to week and you look at the size and the girth and, you know, the backsides, the haunches of these offensive linemen and defensive linemen that they're playing against, and they're massive people. I mean, it's 320, 330, and Arkansas was playing with 275, 280. That's not going to get it. So that's got to be fixed first and foremost. You've got to have, and, you know, are some of these young guys capable of adding that weight? Probably so. You know, freshmen and sophomores are going to be leaner than juniors and seniors. So that's coming. But they also probably have to add some offensive linemen, you know, that have that kind of size and beef. So that's got to be fixed.
Yeah.
Defensively, they signed 9 defensive linemen in the last class, and some of them were really highly rated. Those guys will gain some size and maturity and physical nature. But more than anything else, the next coach has to practice them in a way that gets them ready for SEC defensive and offensive line. And there's got to be more middle drills, more scrimmaging, and more toughness. Less emphasis on 7-on-7 passing, more emphasis on the physicality. And that's what I would say is got to be foremost in what they do this winter and this spring.
Cherokee Casino Hotline is open, 877-377-6963 for your calls or texts. Clay, a lot of people would say, and I don't think it's any secret, that the offensive line play has not been up to the standard since Sam Pittman left. And a lot of people feel like he should be a candidate or someone that Hunter Yurecek should at least have on a list somewhere, or maybe possibly work a situation where you hire a head coach that would be open to his return. Because if you believe some of the things that are out there, Sam Pittman's interested in the job. He's never been a head coach before, but how could Sam Pittman perhaps fit into the equation at Arkansas again?
Well, if you watch the Georgia and Auburn game, you're right. And that's you know, if I was going to spend $1 million on an assistant coach, you know, that's where I'd start. And I don't know what he's making at Georgia, but when you look at guys like Andrew Thomas that plays an offensive line at Georgia, and you remember guys like Denver Kirkland and Frank Ragnow, and you know, even Dan Skipper. Dan wasn't the greatest player, but he gave you a lot of physicality and some, would you say, attitude?
Mm-hmm. Edge.
And so that's what – I mean, the battle that Auburn and Georgia had up front was, you know, that in that particular matchup, the Auburn defensive line against the Georgia offensive line was something to behold, and that was not – a place for anything but a grown man, and that's where you've got to get to. And I think, you know, Sam understands how to do that, understands how to recruit nationally, and he'd be the first place I'd start for an offensive line coach. Would you hire him as a head coach? I don't know. There's some risk involved, but you know, Arkansas, you know, might be in a position to take risk right now. I mean, it's he wants to come. I think where they're headed is Lane Kiffin. Could Lane hire Sam? Possibly. You know, that might be, you know, the dream made in heaven.
Yeah.
you know, it's you know, it's, you know, the thing that happened at Arkansas is that, you know, that Dan Enos and Sam Pittman did not mesh, in that they were running different concepts, and you know, Sam adapted, but it's, you know, you have to make sure that mesh is correct if you bring him back. If what you're doing as far as your offensive system and play calling and the blocking scheme that fits in your backfield system, that it meshes. So that, you know, that's an interesting thought. And, you know, it's sometimes it's a tough matchup, offensive play caller versus offensive line coach. Do they mesh?
Yeah, and fill in some of the cracks, because I know his family roots, or he's got some ties to Northeast Oklahoma. I believe it's Grove, and
yes.
Up around Miami, Oklahoma, that area up. You know, for those that live in Benton County, you're that's probably more familiar. But it's in extreme Northeast Oklahoma. You know, fill in some of the cracks for us on his background, because I know there's ties not far from Fayetteville for him and his family.
Yeah, now he went to school at I think it was Pitt State, and so he's. Kind of hovered around here at different points. You know, he always says that this is the closest he's been to home. He was at OU, assistant coach, but he said that wasn't as close as Arkansas. I know he loved living in Fayetteville, and his family did. And, you know, he kind of held court a few nights at Herman's when I was there, and he's like, man, this is my element. You know, a big old steak, and I'm right here at home. And he is a man that can enjoy a big steak, I'll just tell you that. He's got a great personality, and that's, you know, that's why he's so good in the recruiting room in families in the living room. So yeah, but as far as just wanting to be back in this area, I know that's you know, it would be a fit, let's just say that.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Skip is in Bella Vista. Skip, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Skip.
Hey, I have a question about Lane Kiffin. Did he not leave Alabama because of some affair with Nick Saban's daughter and the college tossed him divorce? Is that not true?
Now, he left there because he took the head job.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't even coach in the bowl game, and he had taken the job at that time.
Well, I think that what you're talking about, it happened, you know, quite some time before he left. So that's not why he left.
Okay, did he not get divorced after that? Because of that? I mean, I'm just trying to say. I mean, that the guy's grown up and changed. That's just 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know about that.
I think there's plenty of reports about him getting a divorce. I don't know that your reasons are quite all correct, what you're laying out there. But you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. But certainly, you know, for everything you've read, and I think it's pretty public, he did go through a divorce with his wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's just what I wondered about.
Listen, Yeah,
as far as his personal life right now, it's the best it's ever been. So, you know, we can all probably find things in our past, and you know, he would be a candidate for where he is now, not where he was. I'd put it that way. Yeah.
And listen, the hours that are in the demand of being a college football coach can have some wear and tear on a family man. It's not easy to balance that for a lot of people, and it's always been a challenge, I think, in college sports, is balancing family life and work life and finding a good balance. I don't think that's a challenge just for any coach. I think Clay, it's a challenge for all coaches.
Yeah, I don't think that he's disqualified in this search because of that. There may be some that question it. Obviously, Skip does.
Yeah.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.